Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. And if only there was something to talk about today on a Tuesday. Here's just a little preview. We'll talk about, obviously, the January 6th footage that's out there now in the news, the system's reaction to it, maybe your reaction to it. We'll obviously open up with that here in a couple minutes. There's a lot of chatter now about sending the military into Mexico to deal with the cartel, especially in the wake of this kidnapping and murder. We're going to have a discussion about that in ways that will most definitely offend many, many people. We're going to talk about America needing a father, because man, does America need a dad when it comes to employers and employees, and dang, I'm glad I had one. Chris actually brought up an interesting question that I was brewing on, the Atlanta attacks. Why are they a bunch of rich kids? We'll talk about that. And are we too forgiving? That's going to be uncomfortable, isn't it? Are we too forgiving? All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let us begin at the beginning. And let's just go ahead and rewind all the way so we can walk through this chronologically, make sure we're doing this right. January 6th. Swearing-in day, really. I mean, it was the day that Congress is going to certify the election. You saw a bunch of things. I saw a bunch of things that sure didn't look right on election day, the day that Trump lost to Joe Biden. It was weird. We all went to bed that night. I was doing coverage on TV that night for my TV show, because I have a TV show too. No big deal, not to brag, but I have a TV. Shut up, Chris. I have a TV show too, and I had to do live coverage of the election. And I think I was on the air. Gosh, I forget, Chris. It was something like 4 or 5 hours that night. One of those things where I'm just doing, the numbers are coming in live, and then we're covering it live. Oh, no, we got new numbers in from Indiana. They're projecting, you know, that kind of that thing. That stuff you watch all the time. And by the time I signed off, shoot, I couldn't get the smile off my face. Looked like Trump had that bad boy in the bag. He was up in all the swing states. It looked good. And then I woke up the next morning to the same thing you woke up to. Hold on, what? There were a bunch of votes that came in at 2 a.m. and there seemed to be just enough votes. All the new votes that came in seemed to be for Biden, and he won. That doesn't look right. But again, let me pause here for a moment. Full disclosure, I was not out there the next day saying the election was stolen. There was cheating, because I don't believe in emotionally reacting to a story. Again, America needs a father. Sit down, shut up, collect the information, calm down, and let's see what's what. So I wasn't sure what I was looking at. But then, I believe it was that night, if not the night, the next night, it was very clear the system had put out the word and the talking points were out, and I watched the system say what about the election? It was the safest election ever, the fairest election ever. And that's when I knew something terrible happened during the election. Why? Because mail-in voting is less secure voting. There's a reason to this day many countries, modern countries around the world, don't allow it. They don't allow it. And if you ask them why, they tell you it's written down. It's because it's ripe for cheating. It's not possible to have the election with the most mail-in votes ever and also have it be the safest election ever. Those two things are not possible. It doesn't matter what you believe about the election. Cheating, stolen, not stolen. You can't possibly believe it's the safest and fairest election ever. And the second you tell me it is, and this is going to be our theme tonight, the second you tell me it is, because I know all the people telling me it is are liars who hate me, now I know you cheated. I didn't know there was cheating. I had no idea. I thought so. I wasn't sure. You called it the safest election ever, and I thought, oh, they did cheat. Okay, well, that's all I needed to hear. Of course they did. It couldn't possibly be the safest and fairest election ever. You saw a lot of this stuff too. Trump sees a lot of this stuff too. He feels the election was stolen from him. He chooses to have a rally in D.C. on this day. Trump gets up. It's hilarious they still blame Trump for whatever happened on January 6th because Trump got up that day. It's all on videotape. There weren't secret communications. He got up on camera and said, hey, peacefully go down to the Capitol. Everyone stay peaceful. And Trump's fans are already peaceful by nature anyway. They're just salt of the earth, wonderful freaking people. So that there was no prompting there. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't paying attention to the news that day. I forget what I was doing on January 6th, but I was gone. And eventually I get a text from someone in my family. They're taking over the Capitol, the text said. And I said, wait, what? What do you mean? Hold on, what? And I get online. And I saw all the things that you saw that day. I saw clashes with police, somebody hitting a cop with an American flag. It looked like chaos, tear gas, anarchy, people wandering through the Capitol. And I thought, wow, that didn't look good. But you know what I didn't do that day? I didn't come on the air. I did not come on the air and say, this is an insurrection. This is a rebellion. This almost took down the government. Why didn't I? Is it because I'm so smart? No, I'm an idiot. Everyone knows that. Why didn't I? Here's why I didn't. I know the motivation of the people who bring me the news. I know the motivation of today's Democratic Party. I know the motivation of at least half of the Washington, D.C. low-T GOP. And I know they are hostile towards me. They are not biased. They are not left-leaning. They're not dishonest. They're not hypocrites. They're not any of these other benign words we use to describe them. These are people who wake up, and when they go to work every day, whether it be United States Senator or TV host at CNN, I know they have dedicated a significant portion of every day of their lives to destroying everything I care about. And I've watched them do this time and time again. The reason I never came out and said, this is an outrage, is why would the people who lie to me all the time all of a sudden be telling the truth about what I'm seeing that day? That doesn't make sense. You see, if there's my neighbor, he lives across the street. I actually get along well with my neighbor who lives across the street. You want to talk about Trump fan? Anyway, but my neighbor, we get along very well. But let's say he was my mortal enemy. I look out the camera. We have cameras all around the house because communists are evil, murdering scumbags. And I look out the camera one night, he's chucking beer cans on my lawn. And then I look out the camera one night and he's out there with spray paint in my garage, spray painting my garage. And then I look out the camera one night and he's taking his trash out. And instead of taking it out to the end of his driveway, he takes the whole can and he dumps the whole thing in my lawn and he goes back to his driveway. So the next night when he comes and knocks on my door and says, hey, Jesse, I don't know if you saw some guy's dog pooped in the yard. Okay, I don't believe anything you say. And now I think you're the one who pooped in the yard or your dog did. Now that is why I have been, and probably you have been, correct on virtually every single major issue that has come down from COVID to St. George Floyd to January 6th to everything else. I've been correct, and you've been correct, not because of our intelligence. We're not any smarter than anyone else. I understand the motivations of the people who go on the news and say things like this.
Officer Sicknick, who was, killed, murdered there by the mob.
The murder of Officer Brian Sicknick by Trump supporters.
These Republicans, they really don't care what the facts are. They don't care about the cop killers.
The MAGA mob attacked Officer Brian Sicknick, and he died.
The flags at the U.S. Capitol are at half staff this morning for the police officer Brian Sicknick, who was murdered this week. But they are not at half staff at the White House, perhaps because Officer Sicknick was the enemy of the terrorist mob, and the mob loves Trump.
Officer Sicknick was the one officer who was beaten to death.
Officer Brian Sicknick, who passed away on Wednesday, beaten, murdered here at the hands of these individuals, these insurrectionists here.
Now, I knew that was a lie, not because I was there, not because I saw enough video footage, not because of anything. I knew that was a lie because they told me it was the truth. Now, that's something that seems probably simple to you and simple to me. But it's not so simple for a couple different entities. One of them is your enemy. The other one is not. The two different entities are the low-T GOP, and then your relatively normal grandpa who doesn't seem to get it. We're going to address both of those entities and the whys, and we're going to address them next, because you're not shocked about any of today's revelations. You've been listening to the Jesse Kelly Show for 2 years. You knew all this stuff 2 years ago. Let's explain why we go along with this and how this stuff happens. Before we explain that, allow me to explain that the interest rate thing from today, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight, but I know you're also not surprised about that. You're not surprised that economically we're heading down a dark path that we can't get off of now. And they're admitting it. They're admitting we can't get off of it. All the people who did this to us are now out there saying there's not going to be a soft landing. There's not going to be a soft landing. All you can do is make preparations. All right. The ship probably going down. Do you have your life preserver on? Have you called Oxford Gold Group yet? Do you have physical gold and silver inside of your home? So no matter what, you can purchase goods and services for yourself and your family to survive. Setting that aside, let's say you don't think it's going to be that bad. Do you have Oxford Gold? Do you have them working already to protect your IRA and 401k so your retirement doesn't disappear like a fart in the wind? You know how easy they are to work with, how laid back they are? You're one phone call away from being protected, man. Call 833-995-GOLD, all right? Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll take care of you. 833-995-GOLD.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. All are welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so we established something you already knew. And believe me, we're still going to get to invading Mexico. Apparently that's a new thing that we're going to have to hear about a lot and stuff like that. But we already established, speaking of the January 6th thing, everything these people tell you is a lie, an outright lie. That's something you already knew. The same people who lied to you about Russian collusion are the same people who lied to you about St. George Floyd. They're the same people who lied to you about your stupid mask. We'll get to that in a second, Eric Adams. They're the same people who lied to you about the vaccine. They're the same people who lied to you about the election. They're the same people who lied to you. You get it. Now, let's set them aside for a moment. You already understand all those things. Why can we not effectively push back against the people who are lying to us all the time? There are two different reasons, two different groups. One, evil, and I hate them. The other, just kind of naive, and we have to wake them up. Let's deal with the evil part first. Let's get the ugly part first. You hear me rant a lot about GOP primaries, about how this is our fault. 20% on average, that's the GOP voters' participation in primaries. We just don't even show up. And it's actually much worse than that. When we do show up, we vote for the guy who's currently elected. Well, I know him. He's been my senator for a long time. It's difficult for you to accept, for me to accept. Well, I'm jaded enough. I've accepted it a while ago. that Mitch McConnell, you know that he hates you more than Nancy Pelosi hates you, right? Nancy Pelosi doesn't have to appeal to you, doesn't have to try to appeal to you. Grandma Vodka just dumps on you all day long, but you're not really involved in her life. Mitch McConnell, he agrees with Nancy Pelosi on most of the issues, but he knows that he has to fake appealing to you sometimes, and he's so resentful of that. He hates you so much more. And I'm not just calling out Mitch McConnell. This goes for so many in the low-T GOP, from McConnell to John Cornyn to the Bush types. They hate you so much more than AOC could ever hate you, because they have to take some of their precious time pretending to like you. In the wake of video footage being made available that should have been made available 2 years ago, revealing some really shady stuff about January 6th, and I might point out, video that was kept from the January 6th defendants at their trial. Do you want to know what Mitch McConnell had to say about it? Here was Mitch McConnell.
Clearly, the chief of the Capitol Police, in my view, correctly describes what most of us witnessed firsthand on January 6th. So that's my reaction to it. It was a mistake, in my view, for Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks.
For 2 years, the United States federal government, FBI, DOJ, the entire Democratic Party, half of the GOP have embarked on a program to silence you, intimidate you, arrest you, lock you away. They are doing what they've wanted to do forever, using state power, using government power to crush the people they dislike. They did this in part by selectively releasing videotape to make you look bad and them look good. In the wake of the other side of the story, a brief window of it being revealed, the most powerful Republican in Washington, D.C., is calling on Fox News to stop playing it out. Until the average GOP voter accepts that Mitch McConnell hates them more than Nancy Pelosi does, we will never make effective changes in this country. You should be crawling across broken glass to vote against your current elected congressman, your current elected senator, in the primary. The primary you don't have time for, the primary you forget about, or the primary most people show up to and vote for the guy who's there. I met him. He came down to the GOP women's breakfast and he played guitar. Did you know he plays guitar? He was so sweet. Herb, we gotta go. We gotta vote for McConnell again. Remember how sweet he was? Until we can purge this mentality, we will never overcome these people. Mitch McConnell and these types. I'm just using his name because he's the biggest name. There are so many of them. We will never even begin saving this nation until the low-T GOPers are gone, because they hate us more than the Democrats do. AOC, she knows she can show up in the Bronx tomorrow. All the communists there in the Bronx. And she knows that she can just be herself to them. And she knows that there are a bunch of Republicans, people on the right, who hate her. And she'll, of course, put up some stupid internet video about how dumb they are. But they don't ever give her a moment of angst. She knows that she never needs their votes at all. Mitch McConnell hates your guts so much more than AOC does, because every now and then he has to act like he likes you. And he resents that. Now, that was the evil part, the low-T GOPers. Now, before we get to Eric Adams, which I'm about to get to, there's a more benign reason why we can't make these changes, why our system lies to us over and over and over again, and false narratives are formed over and over and over again. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Hang on.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Being wrong. Nobody's right. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are going to get to, are we too forgiving? We're going to talk about a great employment rule for everybody. Communists, their background, Chris asked a good question, and we're even going to, I might even do a little pop culture, a very, very little pop culture, just because I want to explain something. You know I never do that stuff, or I don't do much of it. But all that's going to have to wait for a minute before I finish my point. Because, yes, we know the communists lie to us at all times. We get that. Yes, we know the Mitch McConnell types. They're actively torpedoing us at all times. We get that. But there is another group that's killing us out there. And I understand why. I'm not mad at them. It is the nostalgic, maybe getting a little older, GOP voter. And let me pause on that. I'll come back to that in a moment. You know, everyone knows by this point in time that I was very briefly, 4 years, a Marine, a grunt Marine. And you know about the story of Iraq, and you know about the story of them making us take down our American flags when we were fighting and how disillusioned that got me and things like that. But let's talk about Iraq for a moment. And when I was a young Marine, this applied to all of us. When we first went, we were excited. While we were there, most of the time we were excited. And I will tell you, from many, many publications, New York Times, Rolling Stone, we would get these articles people would send us about how there was really no justification for the invasion, that there weren't weapons of mass destruction. That what are we doing there? We're just getting rid of Saddam. That doesn't seem like a good justification for it. And I can't speak for guys who were there later. I'm only speaking for us who were there initially. Not that we were any better. We were just in a different era, all right? We were so dismissive and disdainful of that. But why were we so dismissive and disdainful of that? I remember to this day, like it was yesterday, my buddies and I, we were sitting around, we were in some crappy Iraqi town, and we had some downtime, and we were opening up care packages. We got back home, and my buddy opens up Rolling Stone magazine, and the article was all about, and there's a bunch of detail in it, and Rolling Stone's trash, but the article was all about, hey, what are we doing there? Can anyone explain what we're doing there? There's no justification for this. It was universal to a man. We were so disgusted with it, we would rip the pages out of that magazine and we would toss them in the fire because we thought it was funny to watch Rolling Stone burn. We actually sat around one night, jokingly, but we discussed taking over Rolling Stone headquarters when we got home and demanding a public apology on television. I'm not making that up. This is a real story. Why, though? The fact that the war wasn't really justified is something pretty universally accepted now on both sides. That's something that's hard to talk about, but why? Why were we so against what was staring us in the face? Because to acknowledge that the country we love and would die for would be so flippant with our lives, it was just a bridge too far. We couldn't. Even it didn't matter what you showed us. It didn't matter what you told us. No, my country, we would never. No, other countries, they lie to their citizens to get them into war. Not my country. No, my country. No, okay, they made us take the flags down, but no, they care about us. Hold on, no, we have Republicans in charge. They're not even Democrats. George Bush cares about us. They care about us. Why was it so hard to accept? Because if you acknowledge the reality that's staring you in the face, it changes how you view everything. And in a way, it changes how you view your past actions, because your past actions were taken through a lens that you think is probably no longer accurate. Does that make sense? The United States of America that 19-year-old Jesse joined up to serve, at some point in time, Jesse realized that United States of America, the government, the country itself is still amazing, but the government, that government doesn't actually exist except in your mind. And that makes 23-year-old Jesse go back and ask 19-year-old Jesse some very, very difficult questions. Why is it so difficult for, I said older, this applies to some younger people too, but it's really the older ones that struggle with it. Older conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, whatever you consider yourself. It's very, very difficult to go from what conservatism has always been. The liberal media. I remember the bumper stickers when I was running for Congress. People would hand them out. My supporters would wear them. I don't believe the liberal media. We love bumper stickers like that. Or hypocrisy. And that's all conservatism has ever been. It's hard, especially when you're getting to be my age and older, 40, 50, 60, and you've had year after year, every year of your life, you've been conditioned to think in that way. It is difficult to wake up one day and simply accept, oh my gosh, I'm not dealing with bias here. These people are legitimately evil and they're lying about everything, and they would lock me up and throw away the key at best if they had a chance to. Now, that may sound, if you're a younger person listening to the sound of my voice, I bet you you're nodding your head right now because it's painfully obvious to you. But it's obvious to you because you don't have that many years of, I don't want to call them credits, you don't have that many years of that mentality, that cement being hardened in your mind. That's a whole different pill to swallow when you're 60 and you have to wake up and accept, my government, my country's still wonderful. My government, my media, my medical institutions, my FBI, they're not biased. Oh my gosh, they all hate me. And they lie to me at all times with the intention of destroying me. That sounds like a small step to somebody who's already accepted it. But you and I have to be merciful and understand that ain't an easy step to make. When you're old enough and you've got enough years in, you start looking back and you think about all the stories you bought when you were 40, 45. You think about the scumbag GOP people you've campaigned for who turned out to be jerks and liars who hate you. And that's hard. You want your Mitt Romney button. You want your Mitt Romney. I volunteered and I made phone calls for Mitt. You want that to still be worth something when you're 70, like it was when you're 60. And man, that ain't easy to accept. You wasted your time and you supported a piece of trash. And I am there with you. I hurt about the things I used to support, about the things I used to accept. And when I look out now and I realize my government hates me, do you understand how bad that hurts me? I hate it. It makes me sick. I've spent my whole life, 41 years, reading about this corrupt government and that corrupt government and these people. And oh man, can you believe that Vladimir Putin? He has political prisoners. Glad that kind of thing can't happen here. And then you realize we've had political prisoners sitting in our own version of a gulag for 2 years now, some without trial. And then you have to accept that your government might be something that's not good anymore. That's not easy, is it? That's hard. Which brings me to my next point, forgiveness. Because, well, as you've heard,
we have a brand. New York has a brand. Kansas doesn't have a brand.
Eric Adams came out and said something about made me blew my top off. And no, not in like a college girl kind of a way. I'm going to explain how and why. You probably didn't even see the headline. I'll explain it in a moment. But look, this is all hard. We talk about putting our money where our morals are all the time, right? I don't like that. And I don't like having to look back at past Jesse and think about all the despicable companies that I've supported with my money throughout my lifetime. You know, I've been to Disney World. You know, I used to wear Nike exclusively. I talked to you about Pure Talk. You know that I've had Verizon. I've had AT&T. I've had T-Mobile. I've had all the ones I tell you to switch from. I look back at past Jesse and I wish I knew better. I wish I knew all that money I was giving to them would be used for filth. I didn't. I have to accept that now. It is what it is. I'm trying to quit, trying to clean it up. You can switch to Pure Talk, have the same great 5G network as one of the big guys, save a pile of money, and feel good about your cell phone money. Pick up your phone right now and switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, all right? #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money. Hang on. I've got an
animal inside of me. Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday night. Please do not forget, there's an incredible book out there. It's called, you don't know what I'm going to say, Chris. Maybe I was talking about someone else's book. Anyway, this book, though, is called The Anti-Communist Manifesto by a world-famous author. His name is Jesse Kelly. It's available for sale right now at jessekellybook.com. Actually, it's available for pre-order right now, which kind of makes things different. And I realize it takes away some of the urgency. But anyway, jessekellybook.com. All right. I'm going to briefly hit on this because we have to get to something else here. There's something that sounds great, and it's making its way into the GOP stance. Invading Mexico. Send the military into Mexico. It's time to have a difficult conversation that probably won't make you stand up and cheer, but we're going to have that. And we're still going to talk about communists and actors and all kinds of things. But before we get to that, do you remember when virtually every politician in this country, everyone on the left, most of them on the right, all of your medical institutions, do you remember when all of them were telling you this every single day?
I'm reiterating my call for every governor, mayor, and local leader to maintain and reinstate the mask mandate.
Okay. Every part of your country told you to wear something. Wear this, you gotta wear this, definitely wear this. And they told you to wear something to protect yourself and others. And then eventually people started figuring out, wait, how would it protect me? That's not what masks do. And then of course they lied and changed their story again and said, no, it's just about protecting others. This is of course after initially they were caught on camera saying masks don't do anything at all. But either way, I know you want me to let this go and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I distinctly remember getting on a plane and being forced to wear a mask. I remember walking into a restaurant in New York City and being forced to wear a mask. And then eventually I couldn't go into restaurants in New York City anymore at all because I didn't have the vaccine. And I just therefore didn't have the vaccine passport. Therefore, I was some second-class citizen who couldn't walk into Red Lobster somewhere. I remember this like it was yesterday. And so you'll have to forgive me when I see these headlines and I don't just automatically dismiss it and roll my eyes. Headline, New York City Mayor Eric Adams says businesses should require customers to unmask upon entering to help fight crime. I know I'm supposed to just kind of dismiss that, but no, I will not. I want accountability. Who was correct? Were all the people telling me to wear a mask, were they correct? Or was the guy telling me to take off my mask, is he correct? Because if all the people who were insisting that I wear a mask and if I didn't, I'm murdering grandma, if they were actually incorrect, then I would like some ownership of that. Because I still remember, just like you remember, like it was yesterday, kids sobbing in school. I remember kids, especially special needs kids, not able to achieve the education, not able to get the education and therapy they needed because of the stupid mask. It wasn't some harmless thing. Masking a society was not only stupid and insane, it cost a lot of people a lot. And so when someone comes out and actually gives orders to take the mask off, I'd like to know who's going to give you a reckoning for that. For all that time you spent in school, if you're one of those kids who's listening to me right now, all that time you spent in school with a stupid mask on your face, the hot breath, and you got to go to gym class, you're sweating, you about passed out. Who's going to give you your apology for that? If you're one of the parents out there with a special needs child of some kind you've had to take care of, and you watched, and maybe even your child just has a difficulty understanding language and things like that, and you had to watch your child deteriorate in front of your eyes because of that stupid mask, where do you go for your reckoning? Where do you go for your apology? I'm sorry, I'm not just going to let a headline like this go. Hey, take your mask off. You people all insisted that we all mask. You insisted over and over again it would do this, it would do that, it would do this, it would do that. It turned out to not do any of those things. And now you're just going to forget. In fact, now you're going to issue orders to me to remove it? I think that thing should be duct taped to a lot of your faces for the rest of your life. That's what I think. And I think a lot of you politicians and medical people and media pundits in this country, you better pray to God that dictator Jesse never takes over this country, or I will duct tape your mask to your face. That's how upset I am about this, and how upset I am about the abuse of the American people. We were abused for years by our own government, by our own institutions, abused without reason, without cause. And now they just not only forget, shoot, they demand that you act like those days never even existed. I remember, I'm in blood red Texas here, blood red suburban Texas. I remember the governor here sending a SWAT team to arrest a bar owner for opening up and serving a couple beers. I remember even in my area, I remember the basketball hoops being taken down off of the outdoor basketball courts. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the endless abuse I suffered and you suffered as an American citizen, and I'm not going to let it go just because there's other news of the day. Now, that said, there is something that I just sometimes I'll tell you, you know, maybe I'm just in a mood, but sometimes, you see, politicians lie a lot. We all know this. You know this. I know this. Politicians lie. That's what they do. And I understand and accept that somewhat. I know there are always going to be lies out there. But one thing I really, really dislike is when politicians say something repeatedly that they know to be a lie, yet they keep saying it because they understand there are enough stupid people out there who will hear it and echo it, and it will gain them popularity, and they know it's wrong. It seems like taking advantage of the disabled. That's what it seems like. It seems like pushing over the kid who's in a wheelchair. Well, a lot of politicians on the right in this country are currently doing this. Let's invade Mexico. I hear this over and over and over again. I will use the military to smash Mexico. Let's have a frank chat. Hang on.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.